You're listening to Snyder & Associates podcast series, a civil engineering, planning, and design firm focused on thinking beyond engineering to improve the quality of life within the communities we serve. This episode's hosts are Charlie Nichols, Mindy Moore, Lauren Ditzler, and Charlie DeSell.
My name is Charlie Nichols. It is my pleasure to be the moderator. Should comprehensive planning really be comprehensive? I will let the team introduce themselves. I will congratulate them on recently winning the Daniel Burnham Award for Comprehensive Planning. With that, Lauren, Mindy, Charlie, and take it away.
Thanks, Charlie. Today we're going to talk about some of the issues that we've encountered with planning in all of our experiences. And then we're going to take a step back to see if we should approach planning in a different way to try to mitigate those issues. I will introduce myself first. I'm Mindy. I have about 20 years of experience planning in both the public and private sector. The last 6 years I've been with Snyder & Associates, and I've worked on several comp plans there, as well as bike and pedestrian plans and a whole lot of trail planning work. Prior to that, I worked for the city of Des Moines for about 6 years in the Parks Department. I've also worked in Florida and Illinois.
I'm Charlie DeSell. I'm the Community and Economic Development Director for the City of Indianola. I have been here for just about 2 years now, and over the past 2 years, dealt with updating our comprehensive plan for the City of Indianola. In fact, over the last 70 months of my career, I've spent about 58 of them updating comp plans. That includes my previous two jobs, which included Independence, Missouri, and Story County, Iowa.
Hi, I'm Lauren Ditzler, and I work with Warren County Hometown Pride. We are a community betterment program that works in 7 towns in Warren County, Iowa. I work with volunteers to implement the quality of life recommendations of comprehensive plans. And also previously, I worked as a planning consultant with RDG Planning and Design, where I wrote many comprehensive plans ranging from very small town to larger cities like Oklahoma City, where I worked on the latest comprehensive plan, which was a 2018 National Award winner for comprehensive plans. So I've seen a wide range of comprehensive plans and work both on writing and implementing them.
With that, we wanted to get to some discussion questions.
The first question we have is, which elements people would say are necessary and follow-up actions that would help make comprehensive plans more useful?
For a long time, we have had the standards of land use and economics and housing and transportation in our comprehensive plans. More recently, the planning profession has been embracing and incorporating a lot of other things that impact a community. We talk now more about community character, climate change consideration, public health, equity, food systems, because planning really can be used to address nearly everything that impacts a community. These issues that we're dealing with as planners are very complex and far-reaching, and we absolutely need to consider all these factors. And I see that the integration of these issues has made us better planners and has encouraged better decisions. At the same time, from a practical standpoint, when we expand the number of factors and the number of topics that we are covering, it makes the process longer. We have more content in the plan. We have plans that they're taking years to complete. When they're done, they are very long with a tremendous number of actions, initiatives, goals. When I look at a lot of comprehensive plans, they spend the majority of their pages talking about the things that people don't use as much, background information, the demographics and the public feedback, all things we need to do. But is that what we should be spending the most time on, the most pages on? I would say what we should be spending the most real estate on in the plan is the things that people are using the most, the land use, the vision and goals, infrastructure. And that's not generally what I tend to see.
Thank you. Next question. And I will second this one. Am I the only one who finds plans overwhelming, not due to their length, but due to the vagueness of many objectives and implementation steps?
I know that when I was working on comp plans, I was always working to try to figure this out. How do we present all this information? I've got 157 action statements. How do I present it in a way that people can digest and people can make sense of it? I made a lot of charts. I color-coded. I did infographics. What I never did in all of that was to take a step back and say, maybe this isn't just the communication issue. Maybe the problem is that it's just too much for one plan to bear, and we may not be able to color code our way out of it. So we might need to be rethinking content. And I really hadn't thought about that until Mindy approached me about this session.
I think that is what gets overwhelming, the overall content. Then we put in a handful of goals and a bunch of objectives and a bunch of implementation. I feel like we've shifted to be more actionable because we don't like that critique that our plan sit on the shelf. We want to put more actions in there, but then it's too much information because we are covering so many topics. It's kind of this weird balancing act that we're struggling with. That's why we want to have this discussion. Is there another way to go about this? Maybe we have overarching vision and goals. Implementation comes in another form.
I would second that and say that I have found when trying to write comprehensive plans, I feel like I'm trying to do a strategic plan for 20 years. I'm trying to do the level of detail that you would need for 1 or 2 years out to a very long time frame. So I think that is what makes it overwhelming. We're trying to be both this long-range vision plan and a strategic plan, and the result is the recommendations and actions aren't specific enough to be clear for action, but they're too specific to be streamlined and applicable for 20 years. So we don't have that balance quite right.
Thanks. Third question, how do you manage, or is there room for smaller topic-specific plans, or would the benefit be outweighed by the disconnect?
I think maybe we have to get to smaller specific plans, not include all the specifics in the bigger comp plan.
Mindy, that to me sounds kind of like the alternative.
I was thinking about this in a couple different ways. We talk about the vision, and this is where we have all of our history and demographics and projections and trends and lots of public engagement of what do we want to be in the future. We talked about additional topics coming into play. So when we talk about health and we talk about public art and we talk about equity, maybe we don't have a chapter about each of those things. Those things have to be into all of the other structure in the community, both physical and organizational. So maybe those don't have implementation steps there. Maybe we implement these elements of a comp plan or traditional elements of comprehensive planning, transportation, housing, et cetera. And these become strategic plans and they become shorter term and we have more public engagement at this stage and they could be led by the departments that are responsible for those things. Then we don't have implementation and actions that are going out 20 years. We have goals and visions that go out 20 years, but our actions are shorter term.
I'm wondering if we should shift to a smaller plan with technical appendices as background. The comp plan should lay out the overall vision and smaller plans should provide the strategy to reach the vision.
On top of that, I do think Indianola's new comprehensive plan did a really good job with tying back to those separate plans that you have. You don't want the comprehensive plan necessarily to ignore that those other plans are out there, but to find a way to tie back to them. Before we adopted our comprehensive plan, we did a downtown master plan. We're in the process of implementing our square streetscape plan right now, which is awesome, but our comprehensive plan ties back to that. We have a trails plan, we have a parks plan. The balance is to not create a dozen to two dozen different plans that then become even more confusing because you have all of those plans sitting on the shelf. I think the comp plan serves as a way to summarize all those plans that are sitting out there.
Next question is, how do you manage plan fatigue and have the capacity to update a comp plan every 5 years and strategic plan annually?
Well, I think part of what causes the planning fatigue is people feeling like the plan doesn't result in anything tangible. I think that's part of it, is to make sure the plan is implemented. And I've even thought it would make sense, as we're doing a comprehensive planning process or geographic plans, can we pair a kickoff project or initiative with the planning process? So at the end of the planning process, we not only have a plan, but we've actually completed something physical on the ground that's part of the plan. We've already done the first part of our plan by the time we get to the end of it. Because I talk to people who say, I'm tired of planning, I just want to act. They want to make sure that action is being taken. If we make sure that action happens, I think that does help combat planning fatigue.
I would say the planning fatigue is real. I've been working on comp plans for almost 5 of the last 6 years. I think that's John, both consultants and public sector planners, to make sure that you've got a good comprehensive plan that can look out to that 10-year to 20-year range and make sure that they're all measurable actions.
One more question. The city I work for has district plans. Do you have any thoughts on how district plans or more focused geographical planning efforts fit into this? We've been having discussions about maybe getting rid of the districts because it's a lot to manage.
I think if you think about the structure, the district plans make sense if the rest of the comp plan is less specific and more visionary.
I think it comes down to the whole one size does not necessarily fit all. It's what's good for your community. I think there's some smaller communities where district plans become somewhat unrealistic. It really comes down to what your community wants. Engaging your community, engaging your city council, your planning and zoning commissions, your key stakeholders, and finding out what they want.
I think the other component of that is if you're doing something like district plans, it seems that you can really only have as many plans as you have people to manage them. Yeah. So if you only have one person or two people that are managing 8 district plans, then that's not going to work. Think of that as a staffing issue and who can manage the plan and take ownership of it. It might be a group outside of the city takes ownership of something like a geographic plan. It's a neighborhood association or a business association.
Thank you, Lauren, Mindy, Charlie, for the comprehensive presentation on this topic.
Thank you for listening to Snyder & Associates podcast series, a civil engineering, planning, and design firm focused on thinking beyond engineering to improve quality of life within the communities we serve. Find content related to this episode on snyder-associates.com.